Why is working with some people drop-dead easy, but endlessly difficult with others? Why do we have one bad interaction with someone and end up with a lousy relationship forever? Why do some work teams just click and perform well, while other teams constantly struggle? My name's Gary Furlong. I'm a mediator and conflict resolution specialist. The difference is cooperation. One of the most powerful predictors of success in any relationship. When people cooperate, we get results faster and better than when we work alone. In fact, in many situations, we can't succeed alone at all. Yet cooperation can be elusive. In many workplaces, people are just not willing to help one another. They fight for resources, go after the same job opportunities or promotions. It can seem like competition and conflict are the norm. It doesn't have to be. Cooperation is actually far more effective, more powerful, and even more common than competition. Sounds a bit crazy, I know. How is cooperation more common and more effective than competition? Think of it this way. Cooperation in almost every situation must happen first, before competition even starts. For example, let's look at sports. All sports worldwide are based on competition and winning. Yet not a single organized sport would exist unless everyone cooperated first, by sitting down and agreeing on the rules. If every team played by their own rules, all we'd have is chaos, and no competition would even take place. Competition itself relies on a foundation of cooperation. That's great, but it still feels like everyone's competitive, that we fall into competition without thinking. And we often do. Competitiveness is innate and natural. But so is cooperation. And we have a choice. In most cases, choosing to cooperate gets us far better results. So how do we build this foundation of cooperation? How do we choose to make cooperation primary? How do we create a culture of cooperation? We create cooperation by simply offering cooperation first. By going out of our way to offer help and support to another person, unasked. Then, equally importantly, after one or two offers of assistance, we ask for some help in return. It's that simple. Offering help and then asking for help creates cooperation because of something called the law of reciprocity. This natural law governs human relationships across the planet. There is no society on Earth that does not follow the law of reciprocity. Boiled way down, the law says this: we feel compelled to give back to others what it is they've given us. Now that sounds simple and obvious, but it's tricky. It means if we are offered or given help or support, we feel compelled to give back the same. But it also means if someone competes with us, disrespects us, or refuses to help, we will repay that in kind and more. Competition begets competition. Disrespect begets disrespect. And cooperation begets cooperation. There's more. Cooperation is easy to launch because we all have two other impulses that bend us strongly toward it. First, people have a natural urge to help. How many times have you helped a neighbor, even a stranger, without being asked? How many times have you been offered help, unasked? The fact is, people like to help. Second, we feel obliged to accept help when it's offered to us, or at least be very appreciative of the offer. Back to how we create cooperation. To create it, we offer it first, unilaterally, and offer it a few times. When they accept our help, and they likely will, they will feel compelled to help us when we need it. Then, we ask for help once in a while. Just ask. How often would you say no when asked for help? And when mutual help has been offered and accepted a few times in both directions, a pattern or bond of cooperation is established. Do this with everyone, and a continual upward spiral of help and support is established. The law of reciprocity will sustain it. But remember, is the law of reciprocity foolproof? Do all people follow it? No. There are a few people in the world who are willing to take whatever is offered and feel absolutely no need to reciprocate. They follow the law of me first. Identify these people quickly, like this. After you offer to help a few times, ask them for some help. You'll quickly find out if this person is part of the 99% that will reciprocate or the 1% who will not. With the 1%, simply and respectfully make it clear that you will help them when it's mutual and not before. They'll get the message quickly and you won't be taken advantage of. Is just helping someone else a few times enough to create a strong culture of cooperation? No, it isn't. Reciprocity must be mutual or it'll fade away. This means if someone you've helped then offers to help you, accept it. Because we're hardwired to reciprocate, people are very aware of who owes a debt to who. If we help others but refuse to accept help, the upward spiral of cooperation will stop. By accepting, we're strengthening and sustaining a culture of reciprocity in all directions. Finally, what can we do when we find ourselves caught in the opposite of a cooperative relationship, in the downward spiral of a negative tit-for-tat relationship? To repair the downward spiral of negative reciprocity, we must first break the cycle. When faced with negative behavior, we should not reciprocate with more negative behavior, but deliberately offer small ways to help instead. Respond to any attack with a constructive suggestion instead of a counterattack. These are called confidence-building measures, and they can change the dynamic quickly. When other people see that we're offering to help instead of retaliating, they have a choice. If they accept our help and support, the downward spiral is broken. But if they refuse our help and continue the attack, when we're choosing to be constructive, their reputation will take a hit. And reputation is something we all try extremely hard to protect. By deliberately being constructive, either an upward spiral will start as they respond in kind, or it will become clear to everyone they are the problem, not you. This risk to their reputation will likely minimize the negative behavior in the future. The law of reciprocity is a powerful force we can tap into and use to create cooperation. When we start consciously creating positive reciprocity, we create an ongoing, self-sustaining culture of cooperation wherever we go. Just try competing against that. To get more information on the law of reciprocity and to learn other simple tools to help you resolve conflict and solve problems, take a look at the Conflict Resolution Toolbox. It gives you even more strategies and skills for using the Law of Reciprocity, along with 8 other practical tools for resolving any conflict effectively. If you'd like to learn more about how these conflict management tools can be brought into your organization, visit us at agreeinc.com for more. Remember, the more tools you have, the more you can build.